satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Monday, and it is the 28th day of February in the year 2005. And I want to thank you for joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. For our spiritual message tonight, I have a little book. It's a beautiful book titled The Journey with the Master. This is by Eva Bell Werber. And there are short little passages in this book. I've been reading it, and as I read it, I think about you, and I don't know, I'm going to start at the beginning, the prologue of the book, and just read the prologue, and then for our spiritual message, each evening, I'm going to read to you each little passage in this book, and maybe some of you will appreciate it the way that I do. This is titled The Journey of the Soul, the prologue. Spirit came to my soul and said, "Let us go on a journey together." There was nothing in all the universe but my soul and spirit. The night was crystal clear. The sky was studded with a million stars, and the air carried a fragrance as if all the flowers upon the earth had released their perfume for our pleasure. I laughed aloud from pure joy as Spirit and I went into the night. There was no pavement beneath our feet. We walked on air that was a gossamer road stretched out before us, and we sang together all the songs of ages long since past. As we journeyed on, my mind said to me, "Let us stop here at the house of our friends and take them with us on our happy journey." So we stopped at the house, and the friends came out and joined us. But somehow, the music did not ring so clearly, and the odor from the flowers seemed more faint. Then it was that the friends said, "Let us stop here and take these other friends with us." We did so, and the other friends were singing also, but the music lacked the sweet harmony of that which we, as soul and spirit, sang alone together. As we all journeyed on, a fog settled over the night, and the stars were lost behind the silken veil. The perfume of the flowers came from so far away that we soon lost it altogether, and the air became heavy and hard to tread. The friends we had gathered with us pulled at my garment, saying, "Come, go our way. It is a good way to go." As I turned to go with them, I saw through the fog a dim light. It was the lighted candle of spirit, the light within the soul, which forever burns, waiting for us to find it. Then did a great awakening come to me, and I swiftly tore off the clinging hands and stood forth free. The lighted candle of spirit then became the light of a glorious sunrise. The fog lifted, and a world of beauty lay before me. Again, spirit spoke to my soul, saying, "When you journey forth with me, you must journey alone, for it is only as you disentangle yourself from the outward form of earth things that you can make the journey from sense to soul. Until you have made this journey alone with me, you are not fitted to guide out others on the path. I awoke, and a great peace was upon me. I knew that in the still watches of the night, Spirit had taught my soul a great lesson. And tomorrow night, I will read to you the short passage, The Start of the Journey. This is very beautiful. To me, it is very beautiful. And you know, it certainly did. It is true, isn't it, folks? When we are, it doesn't mean that we go someplace and hide ourselves in a cave, that we stay away from people, that we don't interact and express with others. But that journey to our consciousness, our spiritual consciousness, nobody can take it for us, can they? Nobody can take it for us, and we cannot take it for somebody else. It is a journey that we embark on through our desire, our deep desire to experience the oneness that we are with our Creator. And so I hope that you enjoy these as we do these. It's a small little book. It won't last too long, but each of the passages has a message in it. Terry Schiavo has been sentenced to death again, ladies and gentlemen. And I know that there are a few of you. I don't think there are many of you, but a few of you who think that I waste precious time here talking about it. And Linda, I listened to Linda Kennedy's broadcast today. I wish I would take the time, make the time to do it every day. Linda Kennedy is on internet only. She's on WFAR. You can listen live from Sweet Liberty, from our website at sweetliberty.org. And the name of her broadcast is Precious Time. And one of the statements that she made to her listener as she was discussing this is that we cannot sever our conscience when something like this comes up, for us to totally ignore it and say it is futile to do anything, it is just a game they're playing, and et cetera, to know this and do nothing would have, I believe, a great stain, would leave a great stain on our soul. I'm not saying that's true. I'm saying that's how I believe. And that's why we're talking about Terry Schiavo tonight. And yes, it is true that what they want to do to Terry Schiavo, for those of you who may not be aware, and I do know that we gain new listeners. We've covered this in October of 2002. Was it two? God. Maybe it was 2003. They pulled her feeding tube, and she was 6 days without it. Actually, when they withdraw sustenance from an individual, water and food, they don't starve to death, folks. What they do is they die from dehydration, and it is a terrible, terrible, agonizing death. They say that they use the right to die, the right to privacy, that they use the Constitution, the right to privacy, as their right to murder Terry Schiavo. I'll have some phone numbers for you tonight if you are so inclined to make the calls. I hope you will. Because, you know, Terry, after 6 days without any food or water, and she had just actually been recuperating from a bout of pneumonia, I believe it was, and she made it through. They say that just within a few days, the organs begin to fail, And according to what I have read, they find no sign of organ damage. Terry Schiavo is alive. She is not in a permanent vegetative state. She attempts to communicate. Terry didn't have to be on a feeding tube. Maybe when she was initially admitted to the hospital, I don't know, but Terry can swallow. She doesn't drool, and she's had extensive examination by, I always forget his name. He is a nationally known neurologist and has helped many, many people who are in the same state that Terry is in. And he has said with therapy that literally she could be enjoying a meal with her parents one of these days. But her husband, who is her guardian, Michael Schiavo, has prohibited any form of therapy whatsoever. And it's happening all over this country and all over this world. I believe that Terry Schiavo's case has become a watershed case for them. And how our friend Steve, was asking how it came to light. And I'm not really sure how it came to light. Since it's happening to so many people, people are being killed. It's a way to get rid of useless eaters, folks. And according to Linda Kennedy, she believes that there is insurance. It goes beyond insurance fraud. Maybe we should have Linda on with us one evening to explain this. But it came to my attention. I believe that the family had put up a website because they had exhausted all of their so-called legal remedies. And it has made national and international news. And it is representative. Terry is representative of what is happening all over the country and, as I said, in the world today. Now, the judge, Greer, that has been on this case right from the very get-go, of course, Michael Schiavo, the husband, who has been living with another woman for 10 years, he never divorced Terry. The parents want to take care of her. They are willing, at their own expense, to take care of Terry for the rest of her life. He won't divorce her. There was a huge medical settlement, although it is expected that the majority of it has been spent on his efforts to get Terry murdered. And there is evidence by a bone scan. You can, any of you who haven't seen it, who aren't up to date, Terry's website, the information is almost overwhelming, and we aren't up to date, but the basics of it you can find at sweetliberty.org, and it's on the very top right-hand side of the main page as you go in. If you click, it says Terry Schiavo's information, and there's a lot of information there, but we tried to be discriminatory so that it wasn't a repeat of a lot of stuff, and it doesn't take people forever to get up to speed on the case. But Michael Schiavo had said in court, in a hearing, that Terry at one time told him she would never wanted to be kept alive by artificial life support. A feeding tube is not artificial life support. It is not artificial life support. And according to the neurologist, whose name I cannot remember, she would be able to swallow. So let's say that they removed the feeding tube and at least gave Terry an opportunity to give her sustenance, water, and food by mouth. But you see, that is being prohibited. That is being prohibited. And there's been a lot gone on. We won't go through the past. For those of you who want to get up to speed on it, go into sweetliberty.org and you'll find it there at the top of the page. This is in the Circuit Court for Pinellas County, Florida, Probate Division, regarding the guardianship of Teresa Marie Schiavo, incapacitated. And then it's the judge is... Judge's order is here. I'm going to skip over it all. I'm going to just read to you the order itself. But it says here that the court, after hearing excellent argument of counsel, reviewing pleadings and being otherwise advised in the premises, finds as follows. First of all, let me go back up here. The testimony by Michael Scheifel was backed up by his brother and sister-in-law. And they are the only two people, evidently in the world, that ever heard Terry say something like that. People who know Terry says she would have never said it. She never said it to any of her loved ones. And the court took that as evidence, folks. It's a shame, but we know the courts today. There is no justice. And but anyway, here's what the court finds. 5 years have passed since the issuance of the February 2000 order authorizing the removal of Teresa Scheifel's nutrition and hydration. And there appears to be no finality in sight to this process. This is, by the way, the third time, because they did it the first time, I think it was a couple days. And then the second time, as I said, it was 6 days. And, of course, the reason that they put the feeding tube back in was because of the law that was passed by the Florida legislature. They called it Terry's Law. And it was challenged as unconstitutional, went to the state Supreme Court, went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they all agree with one another that, oh, yes, that Terry's bill was unconstitutional. And actually, the statutes in Florida deny that, because what they're doing to Terry, what they intend to do to Terry, is already a felony. It is against the law in Florida. So he says, the 5 years have passed since the issuance of the February 2000 order authorizing the removal of Terry Scheifel's nutrition and hydration, and there appears to be no finality in sight to this process. The court, therefore, is no longer comfortable in continuing to grant stays pending appeal of orders denying respondents various motions and petitions. The process does not work when the trial court finds a motion to be without merit, but then stays the effect of such denial for months pending appellate review. Also, the court is no longer comfortable granting stays simply upon the filing of new motions and petitions, since there will always be, quote, new issues that can be pled. The respondents will need to demonstrate before the appellate courts that their requests have merit and accordingly are worthy of a stay. Okay, another thing that I want to bring up again is that the bone scans that were done on Terry almost a year after she was in the hospital, they were actually, the bone scan, the purpose of it was to look for closed head injuries. I believe that's what it was. But anyway, they found multiple fractures, folks, and the fact that there was... Well, I won't go into it because I can't recall all the technicalities. The bone scan transcript is at the website at sweetliberty.org in Terry's section. The doctor who read the bone scan said that the damage to her neck, that the only times he had ever seen that was in cases of strangulation. Maybe Michael wants Terry dead so that she can never tell that he strangled her that night, which cut off the blood supply to her brain, which caused the brain damage that she suffers under right now. And it was known, it wasn't known by her parents, but by friends, that Terry was going to ask for a divorce from Michael. He had beat her in the past. He had been violent with her. He had a mistress, and Terry found out about it and was going to divorce him, and maybe that was what was going on. The probability is that Terry's condition today is the result of abuse by her husband, Michael Scheifel. And I'll go on with this court order. The parties, through counsel, have requested this court to rule on the issue of whether or not the petitioner, Michael Schiavo, needs court permission to act upon the February 11, 2000 order once the stay expires. Counsel agree that the court is not required to have another hearing to set such time and date should the court wish to do so. The court is persuaded that no further hearing need be required, but that a date and time certain should be established so that last rites and other similar matters can be addressed in an orderly manner. Even though the court will not issue another stay, the scheduling of a date certain for implementation of the February 11, 2000 ruling will give respondents ample time to appeal this denial, similar in duration to previous short time stays granted for that purpose. Therefore, it is ordered and adjudged that the motion for emergency stay filed on February 15, 2005 is denied. It is further ordered and adjudged that absent a stay from the appellate courts, the guardian Michael Schiavo, listen to this very closely, ladies and gentlemen. The guardian Michael Schiavo shall cause the removal of nutrition and hydration from the ward, Teresa Schiavo, at 1 p.m. Friday, March 18, 2005. Done and ordered in chambers at Clearwater, Pinellas County, Florida, 2:50 p.m. this 25th day of February, 2005. The guardian Michael Schiavo shall cause the removal of nutrition and hydration from the ward. It does not say it will remove the feeding tube. It will cause the withdrawal of hydration and nutrition. That is an order to murder Terry Schiavo, ladies and gentlemen. I have some information. This is old stuff that those of you who listen have heard before. But we need to remember this. I want you to bear it in mind. The law, the statutes of Florida have been broken by the judge that's sitting on the bench, Judge George Greer. And I have phone numbers here for him. I think he should be called. It's up to you. I'm going to give you Jeb Bush's phone number and email again, too. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to do some excerpts here on a piece that we wrote. His amicus curiae, Jeb Bush's, it was a friend of the court. It's called Amicus Curiae Brief, was filed on her behalf on October 7th. Oh, that was 2003, folks. God, it's amazing how time. But anyway, here's what he said in that brief on October 7th. That's when they were pulling her feeding tube the last time and not even allowing her to try to swallow on her own. Okay? Big difference here, isn't there? Terry is not in a permanent vegetative state. She wakes up, she sleeps, she laughs, she cries, she tries to communicate. She has brain damage, and she feels. The governor, this is what he said in the amicus curiae brief, the governor has a constitutional duty to take care that the laws be executed faithfully. That's Article 4, Section 1. Of the Florida Constitution. The governor has a sworn duty to defend the Constitution of the state of Florida. The governor submits this memorandum. Listen now. The governor submits this memorandum to ensure that the court consider the critical distinction between removing artificial life support and the deliberate killing of a human being by starvation and dehydration. These are two different actions. The first is performed according to state law and is allowed under Florida's constitutional right to privacy. That's removing artificial life support. The second, deliberate killing of a human being by starvation and dehydration, is prohibited by the right to life enshrined in the Florida and federal constitutions. The deliberate killing of a human being is murder, isn't it, folks? So the governor stated that he has a constitutional duty to take care that the laws are executed faithfully. And he has sworn a sworn duty to defend the Constitution of the state of Florida. He said, as Terry's death may be proximately caused not by the removal of life-prolonging procedures, but the denial of oral sustenance, forbidding the provision of oral sustenance would create an unnecessary conflict with Florida statutory law. Well, there is no conflict, folks. The law is clear, as you will hear. Why I'm telling you this is I believe that it's important when we have these facts in mind, when we are making our calls, that we are very clear what the standing is here. Under Florida law, section 744.3215, these are Florida statutes as of 2003, natural oral feeding is not a life-prolonging procedure. This is according to Governor Jeb Bush, his amicus curiae brief. He said natural oral feeding is not a life-prolonging procedure under Florida law. And under the statute I just quoted, it says an incapacitated person retains certain enumerated rights. Under section 744.3215, that section clearly and separately delineates which rights are retained by the ward, which would be Terry, and which rights may be removed by the court, which rights may be delegated to the guardian, and which rights the guardian may not exercise with first obtaining specific authority from the court. And he cites the different sections of law. While Michael Schiavo obtained specific authority from the court to murder Terry, this is me, the court had no legal authority to empower Michael Schiavo to murder Terry. You see, Judge Greer broke the law. This is back to the brief. He says the right to receive necessary services and rehabilitation is a retained right. A retained right, quoting the statute. Well, and this is another. While many rights may be delegated to a guardian, this is right in the statute, Florida statutes, folks. While many rights may be delegated to a guardian, the right to receive necessary services and rehabilitation may not. While many rights may be delegated to a guardian, the right to receive necessary services and rehabilitation may not. Similarly, the right to receive necessary services and rehabilitation may not be removed by the court. This is standing law in the state of Florida. Judge George Greer broke the law when he orders food and water to be withheld from Terry. We have to take a break. Hope you'll get your pen in your hand. Reminding you that Sweet Liberty, this broadcast, is brought to you by you, ladies and gentlemen. And without you, it wouldn't be on the air. So you are invited, if you are not, to participate by helping to sponsor the cost of the airtime. We'll be right back. Put your pen in hand, please.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petru, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petru, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
We're back, folks. I'm sorry. There was something that I wanted to let you hear, but I hadn't printed it out, and I was getting it. It's printing out right now. Let me continue with this, where we were, because he's quoting right from the statutes. While many rights may be delegated to a guardian, the right to receive necessary services and rehabilitation may not. That's in section 744.3215, parentheses 1, parentheses I, Florida Statutes 2003. While many rights may be delegated to a guardian, the right to receive necessary services and rehabilitation may not be delegated by a guardian. Similarly, the right to receive necessary services and rehabilitation may not be removed by the court. And going on with his amicus brief, the clear language, ordering, and context of the statute indicates that the ward, Terry, retains the right for the duration of the guardianship. There is no provision for waiving, removing, or delegating retained rights in the statute. Services to rehabilitate Terry's swallowing musculature are necessary. Without them, of course, well, this is parentheses, she will surely die, and so fall within that retained right. The guardianship court recently prohibited the provision of such therapy requested by Terry's parents. This is back in 2003, by the way, but that prohibition has stood for all this time, folks. The guardianship court, okay, just a minute, recently prohibited the provision of such therapy requested by Terry's parents. This is the governor of the state of Florida in a friend of the court brief presented to the court, folks. Such prohibition is impermissible in the context of the section 765.401 action to terminate life prolonging procedures, and as it is an impermissible deprivation of Terry's rights under Florida's guardianship law and her right to life under the Florida and federal constitutions. It goes on. You can read this at our website. You can read the entire amicus brief. And then I want you to hear a description. Just a minute. Let me go get it off my printer, okay? Hold on. Don't go away. You can come in, baby.
Come on, honey. You're thinking of it.
All right. Listen to this. This is on at our website, too, at sweetliberty.org. And when I'm done here, folks, I'd like to take your calls tonight. I don't have a whole lot. And maybe you would like to call up. Let me give you the call-in number in case you would like to call in. I might forget to do it. I'll tell you, you could call in, and then I forget to give you the number. It's 570-537-3025. They claim that withholding food and water is a painless and dignified way to die. This is the title of this, if you want to see it in our website. Doctor disputes media claims that Terry will not suffer agonizing death. This is October 16, 2003. Clearwater, Florida, LifeNews.com. While Michael Schiavo and some media outlets claim that Terry Schiavo will die in peace, doctors say that Terry's starvation death will be agonizing and painful. David Stevens, MD, Executive Director of the Christian Medical Association, says that Terry will suffer in part because she, despite media reports to the contrary, is not in a persistent vegetative state. Stevens told LifeNews.com that PVS patients are those who are unaware of themselves, their environment, unable to interact with others in any way. They can breathe and retain some brainstem reflexes, but they're not able to sit up or do other things that Terry can do. Stephen says that when feeding tubes are withdrawn, patients should still receive food and water orally. That is not the case with Terry, as Michael Schiavo decided against it and Judge Greer affirmed his decision. Actually, it is actually in the order, isn't it, folks, that on the 18th of March, that food, that water and nutrition will be withdrawn. He said that nutrition and fluids are a universal human biological requirement and a fundamental demonstration of human caring. In other words, eating and drinking, even if it was coming through a tube, it's not artificial. As far as Terry's starvation is concerned, some media outlets have reported that Terry won't feel a thing because she will be prescribed pain medications. In fact, Michael contends Terry has had no feeling since her 1991 heart attack. Peggy Gwynn, a nursing instructor at Shands Hospital at the University of Florida, told the Tampa Tribune that her experience with patients removed from feeding tube shows that they have no pain. Kenneth Goodman, director of bioethics at the University of Miami School of Medicine, told the newspaper she is not going to feel a thing. There's nothing unusual about terminating hydration and nutrition, Goodman said. The reason, you know, folks, think about this. When a person has an animal, a beloved pet that is in suffering and in pain and there's nothing can be done, they put them to sleep. They put them to sleep. This is torture that we're talking about. Listen to this. Well, first of all, we'll listen to these buttheads who God knows what has happened to their gray matter or their conscience or their soul. Kenneth Goodman, he said that he's the director of bioethics. What the hell is bioethics, I wonder? Bioethics at the University of Miami School of Medicine told the newspaper that she's not going to feel a thing. There's nothing unusual about terminating hydration and nutrition. The reason, he said, why Florida law allows it and the other 49 states allow it is obviously that this can be done in a way that is pain-free and dignified. That is why it is legal. Do you know, folks, the hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars that are fed into this right to kill society today, this process that they're wanting to put Terry through? It's all coming from the same creatures, or the minions of the creatures, that are controlling governments today, and education, and entertainment, and news and information, and games that children play, and the money. It's all the same. And they have unlimited funds to promote this and to pass money off, any amount of money that it would take to have an important individual who is in a position of power make a decision. Well, there's a bracket here that I put in this that I'm reading to you. The reason why Florida law and the other 49 states allow it is probably that the creatures who draft and lobby for the laws have brought in monsters like Goodman to testify to the state legislators. Dr. Stevens, M.D., executive director of the Christian Medical Association, strongly disagrees. He said, without intervention, Terry will not have a comfortable death. Terry will die from dehydration, not starvation. And this is what he said. Her progression will go from thirst to extreme thirst. She is likely to cry and moan till she is so dehydrated she won't even have tears. And her mouth is too dry and cracked to make sounds. If she gets any fluids in by mouth, if they are allowed, the process could take longer, Stevens tells Life News. Terry will likely suffer numerous symptoms over time. They will get worse the longer it takes for her to die. She may have nosebleeds as the mucus dries out. She will probably experience nausea, vomiting, and cramps as her intestines dehydrate. She will decrease her urine output, have dizziness, cramping in the arms and legs as her electrolytes get out of balance. She may have seizures and even further brain damage during the process. Isn't that a wonderful, loving way to, quote, allow a person to die? A new twist, and I wanted to talk about this. I had a piece I could have read to you tonight and decided against it. I'll give you the information. I'm going to give you a number to call. The Florida Tallahassee Office of Children Family Services in Florida has actually entered something in the courts allowing them 60 days to investigate, because there may be a possibility that Terry is in this condition by abuse and that she has been abused while she's been in this condition. And it's the Tallahassee office. Linda said that I got this from Linda today, Linda Kennedy. And by the way, I did tell you, but I don't remember if I mentioned a time. She's on at 1 p.m., precious time, on WFAR. Yes, I did say you can listen directly from our website at sweetliberty.org. Go into the on-air, and where it says listen here live, where that ear is, you just click in. Anything that's on WFAR at any time of the day, you can listen to from our website at sweetliberty.org. She's on 1 to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday, and she does what she calls the second hour on Monday. For those of you who have internet access, Linda is not allowed to talk about certain things and play clips. She's in the process of putting together a video, as you know, and she's not allowed, evidently, to do this on WFAR, so she's doing her own second hour on Mondays. She does it at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's also archived at her website. And her website is WBF, Walking by Faith Legal Reform, .net, I think. Linda said that she would send me the link so we can put that link directly up at our website at sweetliberty.org for you to be able to go in and listen. And there are instructions on how to get in there, and I'm so sorry that I'm so vague here. But anyway, it's on at 8 p.m. Monday Night Live, and she leaves it archived. And if you want some, how do you call it, previews of the videotape that she's putting together, then you can listen to her on her second hour Monday nights. She only does it one night a week, and I think you would want to hear it. The man that she spoke with in Tallahassee at Children's Family Services is Bill Spann, S-P-A-N-N, Spann. And the phone number there, if you will write this down, is 850-487-1111, 850-487-1111. And just urge him, thank them for intervening here. And whatever you are led to say, folks, then say. Thank him. Be sure to thank them for what they're doing. That's an important call to make. Because, you see, it's, well, remember the agency there that is supposed to be a protector of people with disabilities, and that they were investigating it? And we called there and we found out, oh, yes, it's under investigation. And nobody was getting information. They didn't have enough information yet. Nothing ever came of that. And it's a possibility. It's because that was a number that wasn't being given out, as far as I know, other than here at the Sweet Liberty broadcast. And as Linda said, let these people know that we know, and urge them, give them information that you have, information that can be confirmed, so that they know that we know. And just don't let it lie. Because, see, they'll do these look-good things to appease people, and then it comes to naught. And so maybe that would be a good idea. And then maybe every Monday and Friday, or a couple times a week, give a call. And if you can't speak with Bill Spann, speak with an office personnel. If you can speak with him personally, do so. But keep calling up and checking back and say, how is the investigation going? I believe that what they have requested from the court is 60 days. So that's Bill Spann at Children's Family Services in Tallahassee, 850-487-1111. I think it would be good. I had my phone number sheet right on top here. I do not know how I can misplace something without moving. Here it is. But I'm good at that. Florida Governor Jeb Bush. Many of you have these numbers written down. And those of you who don't, please write them down. The phone number at his office in Florida is 850 888-7146. If I were you, when you call, let him know that we know, as governor, he's aware that the law is being broken. He has the power, the authority, most importantly, the duty to intervene. Get Terry out of the hands of Michael Schifel and allow the parents to take her out of that hospice. Do you know that a hospice is a place where supposedly you can't even go to a hospice unless you've been given 6 months or less to live? And she's been there for years. And you know, George Philos, who is a lawyer for Michael Schifel, was on the board of directors of this hospice. I guess he got off the board when he took the case, folks. So Jeb Bush's phone number, 850-488-7146. Here's his email, jeb@jeb.org. jeb@jeb.org. If for any reason it doesn't go through, there's another one, jebbush@myflorida.com. jebbush@myflorida.com. Here's Judge George Greer's phone number, 727-464-3933. I have a fax number here. Many of you have fax machines. You might want to call Jeb Bush's office and then fax them. You know, when we were working in the States in 93, 94, and 95 to stop the Constitutional Convention Resolution Conference of States in 95, and in 94 we were actually working for something, the 10th Amendment Resolution. But what we discovered is that faxes really get their attention because they make noise and they keep their fax machines tied up. So if you have a fax machine, let me give you the numbers here. There's two of them. Both of them are 850. And the one is 487-0801, or 922-4292, And I would ask you to think about this. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. If you were in Terry's place, what would you want? What would you hope and pray for? You would want people to come to your rescue, or to make every effort to rescue you, wouldn't you, folks? And it's about 6 minutes till. We have a couple, well, we have about 4 minutes left. If you would like to call in, the phone number is 570-537-3025. We had a sad event this past week. For those of you who know me, who we've talked together, and you know the two precious, big, gentle dogs that I love so much. And Thursday, last week, our Tessabelle died. It was sudden. The girls are getting up there in age, but they've been so healthy and totally free of arthritis. But on Thursday morning, she wasn't eating, and I knew something was wrong. And I noticed towards the afternoon that she was uncomfortable. She'd be lying there, and suddenly she'd stand up. And she looked at me at one point like, Mo, please do something. I knew she was in distress. And I called a very good veterinarian here. They didn't have any openings, but I told them it was an emergency. She's in distress. And they were very kind to get us in. And it was a blessing to me that Steve was here, Steve Olson, a listener and a friend, and he drove with me to the vet with Tessie. They were going to do x-rays and take blood tests and said, you know, it'll be about 45 minutes or so. And so we went out to get a bite to eat. When we came back, she had already died. And my sadness, of course, missing her terribly, my gratefulness, the blessing is that she didn't suffer, and she went quickly, and she had 9 precious, wonderful, healthy, happy, and loved years. And her sister is the one, of course, right now that is, she just doesn't know which end is up. They were tied at the hip, Tessie and Mariah. So I'll be getting a playmate for Mariah. I don't know what type of dog it'll be. I don't want to get just any dog. So my prayer is, and I have asked, please, Holy Spirit, let me know the right one for her and for our family to be a pet, you know, and just one that belongs here. And I just, maybe it seems not important or trivial, but if you would just say a little prayer that we find the perfect companion for Mariah and for us. Well, folks, we're out of time, and it's a good time to stop here. I'll be back with you tomorrow night, and thank you so much for being here, and do make your calls if that is what your heart leads you to do. God bless you. Good night, folks.
Roll away the dawn. You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade.